Welcome to the Teardown, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Teardown,
baby. We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode, another week, Tales from the Terror Dome. This week, I'm collaborating with Believe in Cal. My guy, Thomas Dunn, is here. He holds it down on the West Coast for the newest of ACC members. He is here to tell you all about the Cal Rhythm, all about the California Golden Bears. And let's get into it. My man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited to talk about the across the country conference, you know, nowadays, and how everything is transpiring from, you know, west to east. And, you know, if you had told me a few years ago, yeah, you'd be playing Virginia Tech on a Friday night in a conference game, I would not have believed you. I really wouldn't have. And that includes even with some wretched old Pac-12 leadership. So glad to be here. It's been cool, like, getting to see all the different types of fan bases across the different opponents nowadays. So just excited to embark on another new place.
Yeah, man, we are in the midst of a coaching search, and you guys are in the midst of, I believe your AD was talking about, we're just trying to keep the football team or something like that. Do you know what that's about?
So it's been a lot of everything from everywhere. And I know that's a very vague, like, statement to start with, but for me, at least, they changed athletic directors this past summer. The guy previously there, Jim Knowlton, was not beloved by the fan base, was not beloved by the administrators, and it was a necessary change. He was not the right leader for the Cal Athletic Department. Over the last few years, things had faltered to the wayside. They hadn't competed in, for like example, the Olympic sport combination trophies, or I forget what the Capital One Cup or whatever it's called nowadays. But they weren't competitive in that after being competitive for some time. The basketball program cratered. The football program was stagnant. So he resigned effective July. So now they've brought it. They've had two interim co-athletic directors now, but really the big time difference is and I'm sure some people up towards Northeast Virginia may be aware of this man's name. Ron Rivera came back to Cal and is now the general manager of the football team, an alum of Cal, someone who bleeds blue and gold. And it's been cool to see his presence be felt with the football team, because both him and kind of the equivalent of the university president and Chancellor Rich Lyons, they've been united on a united front. And that's not always the case across every campus, especially when it comes to like the equivalent of the president and chancellor. So what was once like always doom and gloom every time you woke up is now like a pretty united front. And now it's just a matter of actually putting those things into action, as opposed to, you know, giving some of the good talk. Now you got to walk the walk.
No, absolutely. And you guys certainly have a quarterback over there that is turning a lot of heads. Are you nervous that this guy might get poached next year, or like, because this dude is a stud?
Yeah, I think, and for those of you who have not practiced your pronunciation, I got you right here. Jaren Chiave Sangapolatele. Come on, you guys. I know you guys can just recite that very quickly. I know once we get your practice down before tomorrow night's game. You know, for me, this is just my personal take on it, and I hope at least I've influenced some people to kind of take it this way, is you just take it as it comes with stuff like this. Like, there's no point in ruminating like over what may happen in the off season. Like, anybody could make any choice for any number of different reasons, and you can have your own different bias towards those specific decisions. But at least for me, it's like, just enjoy what he's doing right now, for what he's doing for this program. And if he stays, that's great. We can celebrate that. If he leaves, then oh well. And we'll have to dig up the reasons why that happened. And I think about it to last year's case with Fernando Mendoza, now at Indiana. At least for me, I just had to ask a simple question. Well, if he wanted to go be an NFL quarterback, if he wanted to shine and get drafted highly, was the answer going to be Cal? The answer was no at that time. So I personally, for playing reasons, understood why Fernando Mendoza left, even though that it scorned a lot of the fan base, and in certain respects, rightfully so. But for me, it was a matter of a football question. Is he going to get the goals that he wants to achieve while staying at Cal? I didn't personally think so. So it was enough justification for me to say, yeah, I understood why he moved on. At least in this case with JKS, he's been an absolute revelation. Very confident, but not arrogant and not afraid of the moment. And I think that's just been the most welcome addition in quite some time, because the talent is obviously there.
No, absolutely. I think this is the first meeting between Cal and Virginia Tech since the bowl game shootout with Aaron Rodgers way back in the early 2000s. Should be good weather in Blacksburg tomorrow. Probably the last good weather game. Maybe Louisville, because it's a 3:30 kick in November, so it could still be like late 50, like high 50s, mid 60s. But tomorrow night, Friday night under the lights, it's a little different. We're usually a Thursday night school, but Friday night on ESPN. Is it on ESPN or CW?
It is on ESPN.
ESPN, yeah, prime time. Have you ever been to Lane Stadium to experience this madness?
No, I haven't. And to be honest, I really wish I have. And I'll let you in on some of my own planning. If we, for whatever reason, had done this episode a few months ago, like in previewing the opponent's offseason, for example, I was provisionally slated to go to this game. I was going to be like, ooh, I like this. I want to do Enter Sandman. Flashing back to this week, Cal's been playing Enter Sandman at California Memorial Stadium during practice. So trying to get themselves acclimated to what they may hear once on the field, and eventually, obviously, the loud Hokie fans inside of Lane. Unfortunately, I could not squeeze it out to get to Lane Stadium, but I do hope in the future that I do get to go, because I do consider it one of the best traditions in college football. I know the one that sticks out to me, and I know maybe it's a little bit more inconspicuous among some of the legendary Virginia Tech entrances, but the one when they're playing North Carolina and Mac Brown and Sam Howell just basically coming back, it felt like the first time college football was back I think it was 2021, I think. That one stood out to me, at least. And I do hope to experience that one day. And, you know, I'm somewhat jealous for the Cal media and the Cal players that are getting to experience that on Friday night.
Yeah. We're coming off a bye week. You're coming off a crazy game versus Chapel Bill with the fumble into the end zone to preserve the victory. 3-3 on the year, right, I believe. 5-2 Wow. Okay. I was completely wrong. All right, then. It's looking strong out there for the Bears then. Yeah, I guess you would have to, though, because, I mean, there's a lot of pressure behind, like, the AD coming out being like, we're just trying to preserve football. So then putting your best foot forward with Ron Rivera and getting it rolling. Bad loss to San Diego State, if I do recall, which was kind of, everyone was like, are you serious? But
that didn't happen.
But hey, the Hokies losing to ODU was bad. We gifted Wake Forest 20 points, lost by 7, went down to Georgia Tech, just outmatched completely, which is, they're the cream of the crop in the ACC this year, in my opinion. But yeah, it's, we got an interim coach, kind of just vibes at this point. Like, if we win, that's amazing. If not, oh well. Like, we got more concerns right now, like vacancies and trying to figure out who's going to be there and who's not going to be there and all of that. So definitely been, you guys were also last year for a long time. The joke was, would it be funny if the ACC championship in Charlotte was Stanford versus Cal? But I guess, how have you liked being acclimated to the ACC versus the former Pac?
Yeah, I do think one day it would be absolutely hilarious if that did play out. Cal, like, basically the rivalry when they play each other is called the Big Game, and I believe that this year is going to be the 128th Big Game, if I do have my numbers correctly. That shifting over to the ACC championship environment would be absolutely hilarious, at least just from my perspective. Going into the dynamics of the old versus new conference, I will start with that. I grew up a Pac-10 guy. Obviously, you mentioned the old Inside Bowl. Like, that was the era that I kind of grew up with. Not necessarily Rodgers, but more like DeSean Jackson, Jeff Tedford. I know that name is known very well across the college football. If you happen to remember these two very good college backs and Shane Vereen and Javid Best, that was kind of the era I grew up in.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to, I will forever miss that. I will forever miss the Pac-10, the Pac-12, like all the rivalries, not only with, obviously we still have Stanford, but every year you still want to face your fellow University of California rival in UCLA, the somewhat snobby prep rivalry against USC, and everyone knows what goes into that. So the familiarity is probably the biggest difference, and the one thing where it's like, man, I really wish we had that back. And at least in terms of even like the geography, like it's just, it's what you're comfortable with. It's what we got to know and it's what we got to celebrate. So that part I do miss, but I do think in the same vein, it's been a welcome addition to the ACC. I've been lots of new fan bases have been interacting with, lots of new football environments we've been interacting with. And I think it's overall been a real net positive, especially like getting off the boat before the Pac-12 officially sunk. I think it's been great considering everything that Cal's gotten up to. I think they've gotten better exposure. I think people know the Cal brand now compared to, let's say, 2023 and the last year of the Pac. I think when I look at what has gone into this move into the ACC, I don't look at football as maybe like the biggest struggle point in terms of travel. I always think of like the Olympic teams, like tennis, softball, baseball, even. Well, how their travel to me is the biggest point of emphasis to look at amidst all this, because they don't get the football budget. And I think that when you look at everything else, like I'm taking a midterm, but I have to go play tennis at Wake Forest on a Wednesday. So that just those different types of dynamics I'm cognizant of, but at the same time, I've liked the time so far in the ACC and we'll see how long it goes.
Yeah. I encountered the Stanford baseball team last spring and they were like, the schedule is off. We're just all over the place. I think they try to concentrate all of their East Coast visits. So they just try to run them all at the same time, which would make sense because you don't want to be, you know, jet setting while you're trying to do school. And it just, you would never get, your body wouldn't, mind would never get used to it. I don't think it would be a good formula for success. But it's kind of funny, like, y'all come to Lane tomorrow, but then you go home, and then UVA flies across. So you get both Virginia schools in 2 weeks, and a home and home, but or away for you, and then home for the UVA game. And I hope that them going across the country and time traveling definitely hinders their chances of winning that game, because I'll definitely be rooting for you in that one, especially since our season is lost. I usually don't care too much what UVA does, because we usually just beat them. But you know, this year they're having a good year. They're chirping, they're talking a little smack. So I'm hoping that they get blindsided by the Calgarithm.
You know, if nothing else, off the field shenanigans will be very good from the Calgarithm. I can guarantee that, both this weekend and next week against the UVA. But the crazy part about all that is, and I'll make it quick on this point, is Cal has yet to beat an ACC team that's coming out across the country going west. Lost to last year to Miami. They lost last year to NC State. Lost last year to Syracuse. And this year lost to Duke. So it's been, we'll just say, it's been weird. All that talk of, oh, what's going to happen when the body clock is at 10:30 at kickoff time? I mean, I can't tell you. It hasn't really made a difference so far. I know Miami had a big time comeback and was down a lot, but they still won the game. So, you know, that's the big, not big worry, so to speak, but just an observation. They're 0-4 in these scenarios right now.
Dude, I was so disappointed in that Miami game last year. I was losing it. I was laughing so hard because everyone was like, big, bad Miami going into Cal, and you guys were putting it on them. And then all of a sudden it was like, damn, they came back.
That makes
especially cool. After what happened to us in Miami with that call, I was freshly wounded.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I, as much as I do agree that it was targeting late against Cal, I'm a big burden of expectation guy. So for me, it's, why are you putting it in the officials' hands when you're up 25 late third quarter? Like that,
right?
That's always me. Like, why the burden for me will always shift to the team, and then we can make a mutually exclusive argument about the officials in that moment. But sucked. It sucked. But everything else leading up to that was great. Even College Game Day, surrounding the Calgarithm and all that. That was a sight to behold.
For the people that don't know, and there's been a lot of discussion on Hokie Twitter and on Twitter in general this week, will you please explain officially from a Cal representative what the Calgarithm is and what it is not?
What it is not is, it's not a propaganda tool. And so it's like a bunch of people just having fun. I think that's the best way to say it. Don't take anybody too seriously. The people who do take those memes and those captions seriously are the people that they're exactly trying to get at and poke fun at and like get under their skin for, because this is just college football at the end of the day. If you're not having fun doing it, then what's the point? So in that case, like all these memes, like this case, the in this week I've seen Hokies versus Wokies. Like last year with Miami, it was a Woke versus Coke. And the thing about all this is just people are just having satirical fun, poke it at all the fan base. Some people do it through a historical lens. Some people do it through a meme lens. Like in this specific case this week, I noticed people were talking about the Virginia Tech University president who is a triple educated by Cal, a bachelor's, master's, doctorate. And, you know, you take a step back and you say, oh, my God, Cal's invaded Virginia Tech already, something like that. So everyone is just really just trying to have fun with it. And I think the best way to say it is no one's like putting themselves on a pedestal saying, I represent the Calgarithm. It's just a collection of people who do have day jobs and different come from different walks of life, just having fun with each other. Because at a certain point, a few years ago, people were told that Cal does not matter in college football. And that's kind of where this stemmed from. Last year, they beat Auburn, that kind of starts to get the ball rolling. But in general, it came from a sense of and a position of, well, why don't we matter? Like, who's to say that? We have people talking on our name. And they haven't met us. They haven't been to a game in California Memorial Stadium. They assume college football isn't that big in the Bay Area. And then, like, we talked about the Miami game a few minutes ago. That was a loud stadium. That was sold out. Like, if you build it, they will come. And, yes, the Bay Area is a little bit different in the sense that you do have to win first before people actually get in the building, which, you know, that's its own thing. And I'm not necessarily the proudest of that, but it is what it is. But in terms of what the Calgarithm brings to the table, they bring the energy, they bring the boost, and I think most importantly, they bring the fun to opposing fan bases who aren't necessarily expecting it. And I know if you've been scrolling at Virginia Tech Twitter lately over the last few days, that is exactly what's been happening. And, you know, I know a lot of these people. The bubble kind of formed adjacent to the site I write for at Write for California. So I've gotten to know these people, where they come from and their backgrounds. And most importantly, I just want to get the Cal name out there while poking fun in doing so.
Not the funniest one I think I saw was is it Admiral Bear? I don't remember, but he was like, they were like, sorry, I didn't want to assume. They were like, we're coming to take all your guns and put them in our rainbow barrels and like, just AI art. Like it's hysterical. Like, I think it's great for college football for things like this. Like every year it's something like out of left field that just takes college football internet by storm, whether it's, Wazoo's been flying their flag at game day every year for 30 years. Like it never misses a Saturday to the Calgarithm or like whatever else is going on. I do think it's great for college football, especially if you don't take it seriously. Like if you're really like taking AI art of turkeys and bears, like to heart, like it's probably a different conversation, but yeah, I think it's great. Like, obviously, we want to win on Friday, even though our season is lost. We want to get wins when we can. Like, I would have liked to have made a bowl game still. That's not going to happen. But you got to take wins when you can get them. And Cal is probably, if you look at Virginia Tech's schedule, as far as how they measure up to whatever, it's probably the most likely win left on the schedule. And it's also a very likely loss. That's kind of where we are. Virginia Tech is as a program, and you guys have a hell of a quarterback. You got some talent over there. It's getting shown at 7:30 on a Friday on ESPN, which I think is awesome, especially for the conference. It lets people know that it's not just the Clemson conference anymore. There are plenty of teams that are playing well, and I think also it pivots into necessarily the Heisman conversation where everybody's like, man, quarterback play is really bad this year. And I'm like, no, quarterback play for the people that the national media hyped up is bad this year, but you still have your quarterback. You still have CJ Carr at Notre Dame. Like there's a bunch of quarterbacks playing well. Like there's a bunch of players playing well. It's just not the ones that have been traditionally hyped up all offseason. And I think there's talent at Virginia Tech and there's talent at Cal, and tomorrow night's going to be a really good showcase of what that is.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the big thing, the difference from last year, this year, Cal had a stretch of four games where they lost by a combined 9 points. Mm-hmm. This year, albeit while they're in close games against what I would argue bad teams in Boston College and UNC, they've won them. They've buckled down where last year's team didn't. And I know that's relative to different expectations with the different opponents, But when you look at 5-2, if they win this week, it would be the earliest they've ever achieved bowl eligibility under Justin Wilcox. They're already off to their best 7-game start under Justin Wilcox. And I know that's 9 years deep, which is hard to say. Like, you're only got to 5-2 in your 9th year under the same coaching staff. But when you look at Friday, I think the message is simple for Cal: find a way. Virginia Tech is still a very spirited team. From what I've seen, they're very physical, especially in the run game, from what I've noticed. And Cal's been kind of leaky in the run game a little bit. So when I look at what some of the keys for what Cal has to do, it's like, expect some of Virginia Tech's best punts. They're not just going to lay down just because they're 2-5. And you look at the record of Cal 5-2, like, you're going to want to beat Cal. And I know even some Cal fans are like, man, this is just, it's the most begrudging 5-2 in the history of mankind. But you can't apologize for winning at this point. So now you just got to find a way to continue to do it, stack them together. And if you get through this, you can find a way to maybe punch above your weight a little bit against Virginia, Louisville, and the rest of the games to come.
Never apologize for winning. Never. Never do it. I think we get Terry and Stewart back tomorrow night. He's obviously a big part of the run game. He's been very limited this year because he's been hurt. We haven't had him much, but when he did, like, he lit the world on fire versus NC State, you know, for like 160 yards on like 15 carries. Kyron Drones has been not good for a long time now. Actually, he'll have moments, but overall, it's definitely hindered, I think, the Virginia Tech product. Bad coaching from a head coaching standpoint has been bad. We gave Brent Pry 3 years. We got going into a fourth year, and it just, obviously, the wheels fell off quick. The quit at halftime versus Vanderbilt, and then just the shellacking that ODU gave us, which is unforgivable, in my opinion. But how does Justin Wilcox get to 5-2 for the first time in year 9, and he's still your head coach? Like, I feel like, is there just like an expectation shift that now that wasn't there then, or what is it?
That's definitely part of it. It's a hot topic amongst the Cal writers, the Cal fandom, kind of just trying to make sense of it all. His first few years, I think, were pretty solid. A program that was coming off some instability with Sonny Dykes, but now was kind of showing itself as a high floor team with good defense that could punch above its weight and upset some teams. Then, as much as I hate to cite it for present day football, I just have to acknowledge it for the sake of the timeline, is the COVID like era kind of halted any momentum that Cal had. And they started off like 1-5 in the 2021 season with a bunch of close losses. And to me, they just haven't recovered from that. 2022 was a bad season. 23, they finally find their quarterback like 5 games of the season with Fernando Mendoza, and 24, obviously, they get to have these marquee games, but then they lose most of them in like close, agonizing fashion. So for me, I do think part of it is changed expectations, because the old AD that we talked about at the start of this episode handed him an extension both in 2020 because of the COVID season, and in 2022, which is the current one that he's on, which runs through the 27 season, I believe. So the buyouts were very high. So even with some of those floundering seasons a few years ago, I'm not going to make any bones about it, but I don't have like $30 million to help buy that out. So I understand why the athletic department didn't have that, but it becomes a chicken and the egg. Whose problem is that in the first place? But when we talk about change expectations, Cal's a little bit different compared to some other schools, because they have so much bureaucratic mess and administrative mess that coaches have to deal with in terms of dealing with the academic side. And I feel like that's kind of unique to Cal, Stanford, and Georgia Tech in this conference. And maybe I'll apologize to any other school that I missed, that maybe UVA too. Sorry to say Hokie fans, but just something to. Those are the schools I kind of think of that have to deal with things aside from being on the field or on the court. And when I look at the way Justin Wilcox has had to navigate that, there's no doubt that he's had administrative trash thrown his way and him having to deal with it as a head football coach, whereas he should be focusing on the football. That's where Ron Rivera comes in. And he has mentioned that this year and going forward, yeah, it's 8-9 wins. None of this 5-7, 6-6, like, that will not fly. And when you looked at Cal's schedule to start the year, it's like, yeah, I mean, this is the best schedule they're going to have in years. It's not going to get much easier than this in terms of not having to face the top end talent. No Clemson, even though they're not that good this year. No Miami. No Florida State, even though they're really inconsistent. Just in general, none of the big name brands are on the schedule. So it really became a rock and a hard place of like, at certain points, people were checked out in 23 and 24 saying, it's over, Justin. Like, we've done this dance so many times, and yet we're still here. But for me, it's just like, he's here until he's not. And I think for the first time in a while, it comes with the idea of there are people who up above who care. And that calls back to Ron Rivera, and it calls back to the Chancellor, Rich Lyons.
Yeah, we've dealt with a lot of stuff at Virginia Tech. There's our AD has not been the best. He won the internet with the Fuente hire. Everyone thought it was going to be great. He was never on my list of, like, when we were hiring a coach, I was never like, I want the Memphis coach. Like, I think at the time I wanted Mark Richt, because he'd just been let go at Georgia. But I didn't know, like, he had Parkinson's. So, like, you know, like, he went to Miami. He didn't do too well. But then Kirby was briefly interested, but then Georgia opened up. So then he went there. I was never a Fuente guy, but he came in, you know, 2016, had a hell of a year. I was like, second year wasn't bad. I was like, okay, maybe something's going on. We got something here. And then it just completely just tanked. And we went from a school that was used to 10 win seasons or like perennial, like upper tier bowl, to bowl just being 6-6, 7-6, like 8-4, whatever. And now we're trying to get, like, we're like, hey, this doesn't fly anymore. We need to get back to like 9-win floors, 8-win floors, 10, 11 win ceilings, make the playoffs semi-perennially. If not every year, if it keeps expanding, you know, eventually if it goes to like 16 to 20, whatever teams, which I think is crazy. I like 12. I would have done 8, but I like 12. You shouldn't expand. If you can't be a top 12 team, why are you competing for the championship? It's not college basketball. Like, I like, and they're even trying to expand that, not to get off track, but like 64 teams is fine. Like, just stop. It's all about money, advertising, and the Big Ten and SEC trying to continually pump their own BS. But, and which I want to be a member of the Big Ten or SEC, because it feels like that's the only way it's going to survive moving forward, is if it gets into the P2, which is why for us this hire is so important, because it's going to shift again in a couple years, and you want to be, you have the fan base, you have the past recognition, ESPN still loves you at Virginia Tech, but you need the success at this point. Like, you need to be a hot brand again, and that's what I'm hoping this committee gets right for us, so we're not, like, this could have been an awesome 5-2 versus 5-2 matchup, but it's not. It's an interim coach versus a school on the rise fighting for their survival as a program, coming in at Virginia Tech Blacksburg on a Friday night in Lane Stadium. And I think that it's going to be – I won't be stressed, because we're not – like, I don't expect anything, but – I wish I was. I wish I was stressed. You know what I'm saying? I wish it was like, damn, we really need to win this game to become bowl eligible. But that's you guys. You guys have to – if you beat us, you're 6-2 rolling back home. You got UVA coming in, prime for a West Coast upset. Like, they struggled with Wazoo. Those Blizzard boys, as I call them, they brought all the South Dakota kids in to Wazoo with their coach. And they were giving them hell. They just weren't talented enough to beat them in the end, but you guys are. And I'm hoping that we can get – I would call – if we beat Cal tomorrow night, I consider it a quality win, even though the Virginia Tech media doesn't know anything about you, so they might not be like, oh, it's Cal, we beat Cal. But no, like, it's not Cal. We didn't just beat Cal. We beat a potentially – like, that quarterback, like, he's going to demand some money this offseason. Like, he's going to have to get paid. Like, he's really good, and I'm excited to see it in person.
Yeah, it's going to be – that number is going to be over 7 figures, I can tell you that much. That's going to be there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And I think Cal's one and the same with Virginia Tech, like, in terms of – they got the last boat out of town in terms of leaving the Pac-12 alongside Stanford. It's like, as much as in certain respects, like in certain situations, and I don't have a specific one to cite, but there are certain times where you don't like UVA, but something UVA did helped Virginia Tech. And in this case, Stanford saved Cal's behind and then some in getting to the ACC. And whereas people don't like Stanford, it's one of those things where you have to acknowledge it, that Cal was fighting for their lives. Stanford extended the lifeline, and now Cal's taking the opportunity and running with it. And like you mentioned, it's all about winning. That's exactly what it is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The fan base has done their part. They've stayed invested throughout some very tumultuous football. And now it's on Justin Wilcox to finally rise to the occasion, or else there's some new leadership that's going to be ready to make that change.
Yeah, I think the difference is Stanford and you guys came together, and UVA tried to block us from joining the ACC.
Yeah, I don't have your guys' specific history in front, but I know at some point there was probably like a greater good type deal at some point, maybe one time in your guys' history.
Boston College also blocked UConn, which is insane. I think I'd rather have UConn in the ACC than Boston College, especially for basketball purposes. I mean, they're a hell of a basketball. And they got a football program now. Jim Mora, in like year 8 or however long he's been there, is flourishing. But I guess from a Cal perspective, what is the California thought process and view on Virginia Tech?
I think they recognize the type of environment that they're walking into. And I think they're still, despite everything that's happening, the one thing about Cal is they don't let themselves hope. Like, the fan base will not let themselves get high on their own supply and say, yep, we're 5-2. We're the best in the world. We're going to go to the ACC, backdoor our way into the ACC championship. There have been numerous times over the last few years where Cal has just lost to very hopeless teams. And I wouldn't even put Virginia Tech in that hopeless category. I would say that they're obviously not a good team this year, but I wouldn't put that. I put that label on UNC last week. Like, I don't think Virginia Tech is that level, to be honest. I think they have a good enough running game. I think they have solid enough players. And I think they still have enough pride in themselves to give Cal a really good shot. So I think when I look at the Cal's expectation of Virginia Tech, I think they expected a hotly contested game. I think they expect a close game. I certainly expect a close game, because Cal's had a little bit of a tougher time initiating explosive offense over the last few weeks. It's been a lot of long drives, dink and dunk, because teams are playing like two high safeties. So I think Cal has the fandom and obviously the program. I don't have to worry about how Justin Wilcox, he always has respect for all the programs he plays. That's no doubt about that. But in terms of the fandom, I think there's an ominous respect for Virginia Tech. They know that Cal can win against pretty much anybody. They can lose against pretty much anybody. And it's just a matter of kind of which Cal team shows up, which kind of gets dictated by the offensive line's performances.
Relatable. Our offensive line and our quarterback play for the last, and probably our linebacker play for the last several years, has significantly, if those things were improved, Brent Pry is probably still our head coach. Like, it's been the crux to this whole thing. Like, we just can't, like, we should have beat, if we had a better quarterback play and a better offensive line and better linebackers, we beat Vanderbilt twice. But salute to Clark Lee and Diego Pavia, whatever they're doing down there. They're a menace I'm glad they're a pain in the ass to the SEC and not just us. But then you get, we would have beat ODU, which we should anyway. Would have beat Wake. Georgia Tech, probably still a loss. South Carolina, probably still a loss. But there was I don't know if you watched the South Carolina game, but the way it went, we had a very good chance of being ahead in that game before they ever broke off the big punt return and the one massive pass to Nick Harbor. So could have been a different conversation there, because their year is not going the way they wanted it to either. So it's just, Virginia Tech is its own worst enemy. And I do fully expect Cal to come in and take advantage of that. I don't know to what extent. Like, if you beat us, I would not be surprised. But if we win the game, I'm going to be happy. Obviously, I always will be. I'm never going to be mad at a loss. I think those type of fans are weird, that are like, oh, man, we won. Like, now our coach isn't going to get fired. Like, shut up, loser. Like, take the W. Yeah. But
you'd rather win than be right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just it's interesting. The All-Coast Conference coming together tomorrow night. The California Golden Bears, Virginia Tech Hokies. We all have great history with our programs. which people I think don't give Cal enough credit for that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Marshawn Lynch, like Javon Best, all these players that have gone through there or been there. It's just two programs trying to get back to where they once were and beyond. Yeah. And you guys are a little further ahead in that than we are, but hopefully when we hire whoever this coach is going to be, it turns around pretty quick. And then we can have Cal Tech matchups in Berkeley or wherever. And I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm hopping on a plane going over there. I've never been, and we're both good. Versus I'm not going over there for that. You know what I'm saying? Because we're just going to go and roll in there and get whooped, and then I'm going to be pissed. I spent a couple more $1,000 on another trip where the end result was the Hokies getting beat.
Yeah, no, sign me up for that. I think Cal still has work to do, though. I think the way I look at it right now is 5-2 with work to do. They're not playing their best football right now, and there's still lots of room for improvement. But I do yonder for those days of old in the mid-2000s or so when Cal was appointment TV and one of the best shows across the country, to be quite honest. I do think they were on that level at a certain point, and I do hope at some point, even if it's like a degree below, if they're just a routine fringe top 25 team, I think you'll see a Cal fandom that has not been unlocked in quite some time.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I want the ACC to be as strong as possible from top to bottom. Like, I know the conference in its own, like, who knows what it's going to be like in 5 years, if it's even going to exist anymore. But at the same time, like, I feel like it gets too disrespected in the media, and I would like to see us get more respect. I feel like the SEC respect is overinflated, and ours is not enough. Because I do think we have teams that toe-to-toe, like our mid-tier to lower tier is comparable to SEC mid-tier to lower tier, even though they'll say, no, it's not possible. But I think it is.
Yeah, there's so much stock put into all this stuff, and you just see it. You see it on full display in the SEC, the undefeated in hypotheticals memes. Like, those are so funny to me. Well, if this didn't happen, then well, it did happen. So, like, get used to it. So, just small intricacies like that. And the ACC, especially, I think last year they're getting like crucified in like basketball, but I don't think ACC is as bad in basketball as they were last, like on any given season. So, the ACC is better than they are, or better than they're being perceived to be, like you mentioned, and the SEC is. They're very good, obviously, but they're not the high horse gods of college athletics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thomas, man, I'm excited for it was good to meet you. I'm excited to see not only where our programs go, but where our podcasts go in the Believe Network. I have been pretty happy with my deal. Like, I think, like, I was obviously, everyone's a little hesitant when they sign something like that because it came out of left field for me. I was not expecting that email. I get a lot of them, but most of them are spam. This one wasn't. But I have been very pleased with the people I have met and been able to interact with through Believe. And I think it's a pretty strong network. And I'm excited to see where Believe and Cal goes and Tales from the Terradome goes and where our programs go. I know damn well I'm tired of podding about bad football. So, like, I'm completely ready for good football to return. I'm ready for – I know you're excited about being 5-2. Who's remaining on your schedule? So, like, what's your current outlook when you look at the remaining pieces on your schedule and, like, where you think you'll end up?
Yeah, there's a – the schedule gets harder once this Virginia Tech game is done with. So independent of that, they host UVA, like we've mentioned earlier. Then they go on the road for what I think is probably the hardest game of the season at Louisville. I think that'll be a very tough game. I'm not going to shoot in as a loss, but I do think it's going to be an uphill battle over there. Then they have their second bye week before they play the big game against Stanford in Palo Alto. Cal recently has played better in Palo Alto. Played Stanford better in Palo Alto than they have in Berkeley, which is, I do find really funny, but I am expecting a win. And I know in a rivalry game, like, anything goes, but I walk in there, I'm expecting a win. SMU to close out the regular season. So the way I view it, I still view Virginia and SMU as quote unquote winnable games. Whether they actually win, I believe, is a whole different discussion. But when I look at like the on paper product, when I look at the way they've played and the way Cal has played, I will still quantify those games as winnable, independent of what actually happens. Stanford, I'm expecting a win. Louisville's one area where I'm like, I just don't like it. So if Cal is 6-2 after this, I would say their ceiling is 9-3. I would say the floor is probably 7-5 if they kind of just get tripped up, if like they lose a high scoring affair to Virginia and then SMU comes in and kind of just dominates in Berkeley. So I think that's kind of like the floor ceiling type that I have. I'm probably somewhere more in the 8 win range. I think they can punch up and maybe beat one of Virginia, SMU, but lose to the other, obviously beat Stanford. And this is assuming that they beat VT this week, which I'm predicting a one score game. I think it's going to be a pretty agonizing affair in the second half for both fan bases, and kind of see what happens. Cal's made a penchant for clutch defensive plays right when it looks like they're about to lose. So we'll see what happens this time in Lane Stadium.
Yeah, we have next week, we have Louisville at home, and then we have FSU down in Florida, and then with Miami at home, and then we go to UVA. And we own UVA. Like, we beat their ass all the time. Like, it's, they've won like twice in this since 2000. So like, I fully expect to still win that game, no matter how bad we are or how good they are. Like, anything can go in a rivalry, and I feel like only winning twice in the last 25 years like holds some sort of mental real estate to where it would give Tech some sort of an advantage in that one. I went to Louisville last year. I spent 5 days there. I had a good time, bought a lot of bourbon, drank a lot of bourbon. That stadium is very loud and very red. They are good. They are a good football team. But yeah, they're coming to, or you're going there. You're going there.
Yeah. Cal's going there. And I will be going to that game. I have made the plans. We are going. I hinged it on whether Cal beating UNC. If they beat UNC, I'm going to Louisville. They did, albeit very agonizingly so. So I will be down on Bourbon Trail.
How many days are you taking to go?
We're still figuring that out in terms of with the site. We're putting together like the hotel plan and stuff. But my guess is it's going to be a fly in Friday, fly out Sunday. That's my guess. But maybe I can personally extend it. Like, if I personally expense an extra day into Monday, we'll see.
Yeah, man, you should do that and then hit some distilleries. It's a cool place. It's a good time. Louisville was a lot of fun, minus we getting our butts kicked. But yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here, collab, talk about Cal, Virginia Tech. Do you have any questions for me on the front of the?
Yeah, I would say like, what is the one of the main questions I have is, how do you make sense of the Virginia Tech defense this year? It feels like it's been a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of what you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. And maybe I'm a little misinformed by that, but kind of your perspective on how you make sense of what you come to expect from this VT defense.
Man, it is very inconsistent. I think there's some strong physical players on that team. I think our defensive front can be menacing. Our linebacking play has been very much left to be desired, I would say. However, Noah Chambers is a true freshman, and he's been playing, and he's the truth. We're going to have to pay him to keep him around, but I want to. Him, Caleb Woodson, who's been hurt. He had some off-field issues in the offseason, and then he got hurt. He's been out. Jaden Keller is not very good. They tried to make him a linebacker for years, and it just hasn't worked out completely the way they wanted it to. There's still a lot. Like, he's good with like pressure, but coverage not very good. Our safety room, they went out and got a bunch of kids from like G5 schools and basically moneyballed it But some have played really well, like Isaiah Cash, Tyson Flowers, not very good in coverage, but he has his moments. Koval got hurt. Jordan Bass has been playing well. He was a Virginia kid. He came back from Pitt. Our corners have been, we lost one of our best ones in the preseason to ACL. And then Thomas Williams got banged up. Caleb Brown wasn't very good. He came in from Hawaii, late transfer. He hasn't been the best, but he's very hurt. Like, he might not ever play football again, hurt. But JoJo Krim, true freshman, number 35, he has been great. Isaiah Brown Murray on the outside, he's typically a nickel corner, but now he's playing on the outside. I think he'll move back in with Thomas Williams coming back this week. But it's just been a lot of inconsistency and a lot of young kids, like, just learning on the fly, and it hasn't. I think Brent Pry might have been meddling in the defense a little more. Sam Seifkus, you know, there's too many cooks in the kitchen on that. But I think one of the Seifkus thing to work out, I don't know if it's just a lack of talent to run his scheme or if it's just not meant to be. But, yeah, I would definitely say Virginia Tech defense. Inconsistent is a great way to describe how they've been rolling.
And then the last one for me, and a little bit of a two-parter, if the game script for Virginia Tech somewhat turns into where Drones has to drop back and pass a little bit more, what do you come to expect for when Drones is in kind of the drop back game and some of the receivers to look at, and maybe the best, some of the best and the worst that comes from Drones in those situations, and what VT has to do to win this game?
He dirts balls at an annoying rate. I hate it. Or he'll sail them. But sometimes, like in the, for the most part in the South Carolina game, he was very on the money with a lot of those throws. Aiden Green is a very good receiver. Donovan Green, transfer from Wake, he's pretty good. Harrison is a tight end that's coming on the scene. This is like his first year really playing for us, and he has been pretty good when he's targeted. Benji Gosnell, another solid tight end. If it comes down to Kyron having to be a pocket passer, you guys are probably going to have a pretty good Friday. But if he gets to run around and create and, like, make it happen, I think it's going to be pretty close. Obviously, who else? I'm trying to think. Wow. Devin Alves. He was like, nobody really gave him a shot, and he kind of came along in training camp and was like kind of impressive. And when he's been the limited amount he's been on the field, he's been pretty good. We get Cam Seldon back this week. He was at Tennessee. Now he's here. He's a Virginia kid too. We're learning how to play slot receiver. He was a running back at Tennessee, but here he's playing slot, and he's fast, and he can make some things happen. It's just all depends on if Kyron has the protection to get them the ball and if he has the accuracy to make it count when he has the opportunities.
All right. Well, let's go have a good one in Lane Stadium on Friday. I'm excited to see what happens between for the first matchup in quite some time between the California Golden Bears and the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Good luck to the California Golden Bears, and as always, go Hokies. Thomas, thank you very much, man, and I look forward to talking to you after the game tomorrow and getting your thoughts and my thoughts on how the whole thing went down.
It was an absolute pleasure. Let's go play some football.
Hell yeah.